Hello, hello, hello. I hate this thing. It's Noreen. Okay. Hello, this is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. It's Tuesday evening, and it is my favorite time of the week. Why? Because I get to be with you, and I get to talk about things that are important to me. And this week, we're talking about being an entrepreneur. Big breath. Big, fat breath. Hey, Sanjeev. Satij, sorry. I am, right now I'm having a massive headache, and it's because I had this massive breakthrough this afternoon about being an entrepreneur, how I've been being in the game, and what has and what is showing up for me. So before I go into that, I just want to say that I had a great weekend. I love what I do for a living. I love my life, truly, truly love my life. And even when I have ups and downs, or when things are not working the way I want them to work, I'm still in love with my life. And what I do know about my life is that it's important to do the things that are important to me, say the things that I need to say, and just be me 100%. Now, you know, a lot of people might not like the fact that I am me, but it's none of their business. And it's not my business. It's not my business to care about whether somebody likes me or not. What's really important is that I like me. I love me, right? And, I don't think I've ever really experienced a time when I haven't liked me. And from as long as I can remember, I've always wanted to do things my way. And I guess that's why my business is called Live Life Your Way. And it didn't, it was just one of those things that just popped out of my mind and became a mantra. And I really, when I look back through my life, my mother used to call me the Onwea Pickney. Right? And for those of you that don't speak Jamaican, even though patois, some of my friends would say that I'm a Jafakan, right? I'm a Jafakan. But really what that was is I had to have my own way. I had to create my own way, my own life. And, for me, what that means is that each and every one of us are on this planet to create life our way. And when we don't do that, when we stray away from what's intrinsically who we are or intuitively who we are, we get into issues, we get into problems, right? And we can't, we get stuck, right? And so hi guys for joining. Hi, Naomi. Hey, Allison. I am, really, really committed to finding out and creating and always creating my life and always doing things that are important to me. So tonight I was talking about, my conversation tonight is being an entrepreneur. There are a gazillion of us out there. I really don't even like that word, entrepreneur. When did that sort of, I don't even know when that word came around. I know it's a French word, right? It could be gatekeeper, gate opener. I don't know, right? But, enter, entree, right? Peneur. I don't know what the peneur part means. But anyway, I am one of those. I am an entrepreneur, and I'm a business person, first and foremost. And I knew I wanted to be a business person when I was 13 years old, right? I just knew that was something that I wanted to do. And I don't know if it's because I had this conversation, I didn't want anybody telling me what to do, but it was a conversation that I had at 13 years old. And I didn't know when it was going to happen or how it was going to happen. I just knew it was something that was supposed to happen. And I was the kind of person that I would take a job and probably stay for about 6 months, maybe stay for a year. And then I'd love the people. I'd love the people that I worked with, but I could never sit with the fact of getting up, going to work, sitting at a desk, doing something, I don't know, whatever, for 8, 9, 10, 14 hours a day. Yeah, that was the story of my life, 8, 9, 10, in some cases, 14 hours a day. And I just knew that there had to be more to my life than getting up and going to a job and doing it. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Everybody has to do it. Hi, Jessica. Everybody has to get up and go earn a living. We all have to do it. Somebody has to clean the roads. Somebody has to be a housekeeper. Somebody has to be, you know, a train driver and stuff like that. But what it's important is that it's something that you enjoy doing. So for me, I have been now working on my own for like over, I would say, 25 years, right? And it's just all of a sudden I realize it's, you know, like I'm going through my life, I'm having a good time. Thank you for the love. I'm going through my life, I'm having a good time. And it just dawns on me the other day, like, oh my God, I've been doing this for over 20 something years. And what else dawns on me is I've been in New York City since 1985, right? And it feels like, literally, it feels like yesterday, apart from the gray hair. Right? It's been, and it's like, oh my God, I have literally been taking care of myself for over, well, I've been taking care of myself my whole life since I was 16, because that's when I started working. But I've been taking care of myself for like over, making my own paycheck for over 20 plus years. And I love the ups and I love the downs, and I weather the storms, and right now I'm in one of those storms, right? And it's always, always an economical storm, in and out. It doesn't matter how much money you make. There's always that, for me, what I've discovered, there's always that next level to go through, right? There's always that thing to experience. And what I'm experiencing now is not creating money. Like, what is going on with me? I don't know. But I'm a human being inside of this body doing the work that I'm here to do. And right now, I'm just like literally stopped. Right? Just literally stopped. And now I'm just going to get really out there, like, and just share what that is, what that looks like, you know? So let me just give you an example. So I did the International Expo the other day, right? It was the International Franchise Expo. And then it was also the International, I don't know if it's called International, but it was a Cannabis Expo, which was right next door to the International Franchise Expo. This was really, really great. It was a really great expo, because you get to see there are gazillion ways to make money, to do business on this planet. Like more than you can imagine, right? And everybody's got a franchise. You can do a ramen shop, you can do Subway, you can do Roy Rogers, you can do Hooters, you can do like housing things. There's a gazillion amount of like businesses, right? And so I met this lady who, she said that she's leaving her job. I'm leaving my job, she says, and I'm going to buy myself a franchise, and I have to get myself a franchise within this next 6 months, right? So I said to her, have you ever, the next 6 months? She said, yeah. I said, have you ever worked in a business on your own before? And she says, no. So a lot of people leave their businesses and they don't realize that you kind of have to purge, right? Can somebody get me a tissue? I am sweating up a storm. Oh, great. Thank you. This is not like a hot conversation. I'm just a hot girl. Right. So, So people leave their businesses. They've never they've never created any money for themselves before. They just have this idea that they want to do that. And some people, you can do it. I was a plunger. I just jumped, right? But I knew this was something that I wanted to do. And I did it. Hi, Madeline. And so this lady, she's never worked on her own before. She says, I have to get a franchise by the end of the month. I said, what kind of franchise do you want? She says, I don't know. So I says, well, what are you interested in? What do you like? She says, I don't know. Now, a lot of people, you know, she's going to buy this franchise and she doesn't know she has to purge. She's been working like 20 years and she's been getting a paycheck every single week, right? Every single week, every single 2 weeks or once a month, whatever, however she's been getting a paycheck, it's a paycheck. And so you could sit in your cubicle or your cubby or your desk and you could literally watch YouTube all day long. And it doesn't matter. As long as you do a little bit of work or you do what you're asked to do, right? And you can use a quarter of your brain, not the whole, hi. You can use a quarter of your brain. You're still going to get that paycheck, right? As an entrepreneur, you don't work, you don't get paid. You don't work, you don't create something, you don't get a paycheck, right? And it's like, what is that like for somebody who's never, it's shocking. It's shocking to the system, right? I mean, fortunately or unfortunately, when I took the leap of, I don't know, I wouldn't even call it faith because it wasn't, I didn't even know what that was, right? When I took the leap of faith and jumped out of corporate and became a so-called entrepreneur, I was a real estate broker. I was fortunate enough, the moment I made the decision to do that, everything just like panned out. And the first week as a real estate broker, I made money. All week, for that week, I made money. And for the duration of my career, which was 15 years as a real estate broker. But anyway, I'm going to take a break because I'm getting a signal and I'll come back right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Right. So like I said before, this is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I am having a conversation about being my experience of being an entrepreneur now. So and you know what? It doesn't matter what you know. Like, it doesn't matter what you know on a day to day basis. It's what you know in the moment. Right. It's like how you and I have like lots of structures and stuff like that. So anyway, this lady. What was I talking about? I was saying when I jumped from being an employee to an entrepreneur, I was a real estate broker and I worked as a real estate broker for 15 years and I made money every single week, right? Now, fast forward, I want to be a coach. Holy mother of Jesus, right? Being a coach, what I discovered is that one, you are it. There is no... I am the product, right? I'm the product, I'm the thing. And with that, everything falls on me. So it's like when I was a realtor, I was sharing properties. I was showing properties, showing them. I didn't sell them, I showed them, right? And as a real estate, as a life coach, I am sharing and creating ideas and helping people to be accountable and all that. And everything falls on me. So everything that I do, say, everything that I earn, it's all on me. And so, you know, it was easy doing real estate. It was extremely easy for me. And being a coach, it's not easy because it's a constant, I'm constantly learning, constantly shifting, constantly changing. Whatever is affecting me affects my clients. Okay, Rhonda, okay? Whatever is affecting me can, if I don't keep myself clear, can affect my clients. And so what I've been going through recently is I had this conversation about, you know, the universe helping me. And I had a huge breakthrough today. So much so that it rocked, literally rocked my world. And I have the biggest headache and I felt like throwing up. What I've been doing in these last few months, let's just say like the last 6 months of this year, is that I've been having this conversation about the universe, right? And that the universe provides. It does. But you know what? I'm the freaking universe. I'm the freaking universe. The universe does not, I'm the universe. There is no universe out there. It's not a person or a man or a thing that is saying, oh, Noreen, here's a gift for you today. And here, Noreen. But like, I have been sort of living that way. Now, I don't coach that way, but I've been living that way. And what I've discovered is that I've been not putting the oxygen mask on my face, right? This is like, tell it like it is. So what's been happening is that things like what I know to do, I have not been doing, right? And that literally made me feel, I feel terrible. I'm like, I am not 100%. I'm probably, if I was going to measure myself on a scale of 1 to 10, I would probably say that I was on a 6, right? I'm on a 6 right now. Thank you for whoever that showed me that love. And I just feel like, oh my God, what am I doing? What is it all for, right? It's like, I love my work, right? But it's like, if I am not going to be a 10 in my game for myself, then I might as just hang up the shingle. And that, like, that is like, for me to say that, it's like frightening. You know, I'm not going to hang up the shingle, but like, literally, I have to get my shit in gear. So what I've, you know, in discovering this today, that I'm not wearing my own gas mask or oxygen mask or whatever, oxygen mask. And I'm not like, what I discovered is that I always say money needs a place to go. And for me, it's true. When I create things that I want, they show up. The money shows up for me to have it, right? And what I've discovered is not self-care. I'm doing the self-care. But what I've discovered is I haven't created a lifestyle. I haven't created a lifestyle. I haven't upgraded. Let's say created because, you know, I have my place, blah, blah, blah. But I have not in the last, I would say, year and a half, maybe more. I mean, I wanted the radio show. Boom, I got the radio show, right? Didn't I? It just created that, right? Everything turned around. But it's like, I have not created the lifestyle that I want. I have not sat down, or maybe the lifestyle that I wanted, I've gotten it, and now it's stale. I have to expand, right? So I have not been dreaming. I have not been creating. I have not been, you know, I've got nothing or nowhere for money to go. So I'm not creating. I'm just taking basic actions to take care of what I need to take care of. And that's not enough because, like, it's not enough, right? It's just not enough. I've got to now start to create the lifestyle that I want to live and choose that I want to live for myself so that, like, I can start taking the actions to actually present them. And, like, literally, I discovered that not just this afternoon, but, like, it just sort of came. It was like a pimple. It just came to a head this afternoon. And I just feel really kind of like sick about it. I feel really sick about it because, like, yeah, it's a heartfelt feeling, right? Because all my clients, are rocking out. They're like literally rocking out. They want a job. Literally the job shows up. I have a client who's advertising. She owns an advertising company. Literally, I keep on using that word literally. But it's honestly, right? Literally, honestly. 2 weeks ago, because we have a session where we talk every 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, she got on the phone and she said to me, you know, like, I have this dream that I want to, you know, I want to have the office beside me, and I want to have, you know, I'm doing a deal with this lady and I want her to, you know, we're going to partner and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And I want to have, there was this really great assistant that I had, and she went back to Europe, and I want one just like her. So we had a session yesterday. Every single thing that we created on that call, every single action that we created on that call, everything that she said she wanted between the 2 weeks ago and yesterday materialized, right? So what she did was, because she took the necessary actions, we broke it down into bite-sized pieces, and she took everything. Like, she called me up and she was like, I'm terrified. And I started laughing. I was like, why are you terrified? She says, because everything that I've created since I've working with you has come to fruition. And she goes, and I'm afraid, what if I can't hold it together? What if I can't hold it together? And I says, well, you are. It's happening because you're creating it, right? And so it's just an amazing eye-opening. I'm so deeply rooted in the game for other people that I've left myself by the sideline. It's like I've left my little girl, my child, by the side, and they're not creating anything. They've just got basic. They've just got their basics, right? And so I have to, like, what I'm, like, I'm recommitting to myself. And this week, I'm going to, like, sit. Like, this week, I'm just going to do what I do with my clients. And I'm going to sit down and start to dream and create and then break it down into bite-sized pieces and take the necessary actions to get. Because everything that I create for others always manifest, but I've forgotten about myself. I've forgotten about upgrading myself, upgrading and having my dreams. And so I'm really going to take that on. Hi, Bridget. Welcome and thank you for joining. If you want to call in, if you've had any experiences where you've seen that you've put yourself on, if you're a worker, an entrepreneur, you're taking care of others, you're supporting others, and you've realized that you've put yourself by the wayside, and things are not working the way you want them to work, calling at 877-480-4120. And we have Rhonda Williams on the line.
Hi, Normeen. How are you?
I'm in a breakdown. let's keep it straight. I'm in a breakdown.
I hear that, but you're not really in a breakdown.
Why'd you say that?
It's all an illusion. Truly, yeah. Truly, Normeen, it is an illusion. Yes. And I can say that truly, because I've known you. I know you. Yeah, it's an illusion. You're going to be fine.
Oh, thank you.
You just needed this moment to realize what you had to do.
Exactly.
You're going to be fine.
That's exactly right. But you know what? I have to take the steps to be all right.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm declaring that I'm okay right now, but I still have to take the steps to be okay and to create the lifestyle. It really is creating a lifestyle of what I want, right? And it doesn't...
The difference between yesterday and today is that you realize this.
Yeah.
You realize this. And you will consciously, tomorrow will be a different day for you.
Right now is a different day. And like, I'm telling you, a massive excavation. I have a pain right across my eyes and my temple, and literally felt like I said, what is that? You know, wanted to throw up. So anyway, let's join the call. Welcome, Rhonda Williams, to the call. We met approximately 10 years ago.
Thank you for having me, Normeen.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
I'm so thankful to be here with you. Thank you for having me. I'm humbled to be here on your radio show.
Thank you.
Small feat. No small feat.
Well, no, it's not a small feat. It is really,
no.
It's big feat. And it really is a commitment to, like, you know, this is where I bear all. Hold on. I'm losing battery life. Hold on. There's battery life it's losing. What's going on? Maybe we're disconnected. So can you still hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you fine.
Okay. All right. So we're back. So now, Rhonda, we met. Let's just give people the background. We met approximately 10 years ago. You had just come back. Was it, you had you just come back from Senegal?
Correct.
Right. One of my favorite. Let me see what I remember, because I'm really good at remembering people's stories. And there's a mosquito in here biting the dickens out of me. Right. So you just gotten back from Senegal and you have two children. Am I right?
I have three sons.
Three sons. Right. And yeah. You had met this gorgeous man in the United States. Right. And then you went to live in Senegal with him.
Well, we married here, mm-hmm. and we started our lives together. And his background, when I met him, he was attending university in Washington, mm-hmm. For international relations, PhD. Mm-hmm. So I knew that, my world was going to incorporate some traveling, was going to mean that, mm-hmm. and that it did.
Right.
Yes, I met him here, but he was Senegalese. Mm-hmm. He was from a upper caste Senegalese family, very old Senegalese family. Mm-hmm. We met and got married. I actually met him in college. We broke up, lost total contact. This is one piece that I want to add to what the crux of what you're talking about tonight on your show, which is so interesting that I called in tonight, because how you're feeling is how I've been feeling for quite some time myself. And when I lived abroad and found myself in a situation where I was a practicing Muslim, mm-hmm. Once before I moved there, but once, and it was a predominantly Muslim country, mm-hmm. I saw so many different things. My eyes became open to so many things while I was immersed in a culture outside of my own, mm-hmm. And a family outside of my own, but my own family by marriage.
Right. I'm going to ask you to take a break, and then I'm going to ask you to hold that thought, because we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love, or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hello.
I'm here.
All right. So you marry this Senegalese man. You're immersed in a culture that is not intrinsically your own. You're an American Western woman that is now living in Africa. Right?
Correct.
And can I assert that, I don't know if this is, I'm making this up, but this is my experience when I went to Senegal. So here you are, you're a black woman, you're an African-American woman, and you're going into this African country, and you think, oh, man, you're just going to immerse yourself in, you're just going to become African all of a sudden, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to mm-hmm. find some kind of connection. It's normal. We're black, I'm black, they're black, we're going to have a connection. Until I went to Africa, and I realized, oh, my God, I am a Westerner.
I am a Westerner.
I am a Westerner. I'm a European. I mean, it was like literally, it was like saying that word was almost sacrilegious to say,
absolutely.
I am a European. And
absolutely.
This is an alien experience for me. And the only thing that I had in common with these people that I could find was that I was black.
That I was black, that I was Muslim,
mm-hmm.
and that I had given my husband three sons.
Right. Which was a good thing.
Which was a good thing. I had a great place in the family. I was revered. I was the first American even to be allowed into this family.
Mm-hmm.
When my ex-husband asked me to marry him on And we called and got permission from his parents. Mm-hmm. It was on Sunday. It was on a Sunday night. I'll never forget it. And that Wednesday, within that same week, his mother was here as a representative to see and meet me along with my family.
Right.
Because it wasn't just about me. It was about who he, what other family that he was bringing into their family.
Bloodline is he bringing in?
So, yes, it was a very interesting dynamic from the onset. As you said, yes, a black woman married into an upper caste African family, living amongst them on their turf with these three children, mm-hmm. who a birth son of a son and then a set of twin boys.
Right.
Yes.
So paint a picture. Paint a picture for the people, yes. About how you were living, right? Because Senegal is a beautiful place. It's amazing, and it has like a metropolis.
Beautiful.
You know, they
it's
called
beautiful.
It.
If
they
you
called
can
it
feed the, your family, and yeah, it's beautiful if you have. Mm-hmm. And in Senegal, as you know, because you've been, you either have or you don't.
Right.
There's no in between.
Right.
There's no barrios. A barrio, we don't know destitute. Destitute for us is a different term and as far as that's concerned. But I say all that to say I was Muslim while I was there, and what became the quagmire, what changed things for my dynamic being a part of this family, being immersed in this Muslim family, was I got there and saw so many things I didn't like. I loved Islam, the religion itself, and no one forced me to become Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
But I
so
got
you,
there
so
and
you didn't
saw
have to convert
all the things that didn't agree with my spirit. So, long story short,
give us a,
I began
give us
reading
a,
the Bible.
Give, give
the
us an example.
Praying, you know, I was I've always been very spiritual, so I always enjoyed praying. And as you know, as a Muslim woman, I always found that time to be very meditating and peaceful. I always, you know, use it to its fullest extent when I communicated with the Father,
right?
The higher being, another power. But
can I just ask a question?
Yes.
Right. So what was, give us an example of some of the things that you saw that you didn't agree with, because this is radio, right? So we need to,
yes,
get a sensation.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it was, you know, people were highly spiritual all around me.
Mm-hmm.
But then they would go, because of the family I was in, again, it was very old African, upper caste family, so they were accustomed to having things their way.
Mm-hmm.
So if something didn't go their way, they would make it their way, because that's just how, because they were in a level of society where it could be.
Right.
So there was not much that I did not want for, that I didn't have, even in the sense when I went out for a job, for an example.
Mm-hmm.
While living there, I was there for about 5 years. I worked at the university.
Right.
I had my bachelor's degree, and I worked in television news when my ex-husband met me. So I was, you know, he had a dime piece.
Right.
But I didn't have my master's, and, you know, we all know that to work on a university, a campus, you have to have a master's. Well, I didn't. My name got me a job on university, and there were many other amenities that I had living there. That are afforded to me because of the place in that family, the place of society, and people, you know, they praise, you know, Allah, you know, Allah is this, Allah is that, and, you know, but then they cheat you for money in the same breath. So
okay.
I saw all these things, these types of things that began to bother me. I saw the narcissistic ways in which people function, and had gotten so accustomed to functioning in those ways that it was second nature to them. They didn't even see it that way.
Okay. So now, can I just say, so right now what you're sharing with me is your experiences, but some people would say, what are you complaining about? You know?
Well, it didn't set right with my spirit. It didn't set right with my heart. It didn't set right with the fact that I was raising three sons and I concerned for who they were going to become as men.
Right.
I didn't want them to become, you know, the type of people who look down on others because they didn't have, or look down on others because they didn't have, they weren't from a certain family. I didn't want my sons to, there was a pivotal point, an experience I'll share with you. I had a nanny that lived in the house with us. I had mm-hmm. one that came in 6 a.m. and stayed till 6 p.m. every day.
Mm-hmm.
I had a driver. I had someone to cook and clean my home. And I really should have really had nothing to complain about.
Right.
And it was an experience that most women a black woman, you know, you read about in books.
Right.
I lived it and thought that it was going to be enough.
Right.
But then as I was in it on a daily basis and began to feel the emptiness in terms of how people were treated, how people in my family treated people outside.
So what was the turn
in the Cartier, which is what we refer to the neighborhood.
What was the...
And my husband and I would often get into disagreements because I would want my cook to feed the children at least minimum twice a week that at least lived on the street that we lived on. I mean, we were in these behind these high walls. You have people standing outside your home to guard your home. And then you have families right outside your wall who don't even know where they're going to get water from the boil to boil. They don't even know where they're going to have their next meal,
right.
How they're going to feed their family. It was just an overwhelming feeling for me.
Right. It was something new, I would imagine.
And it's... not feel like I had, I just could not act like it wasn't happening. Does that make sense?
Yes. I understand.
Was not happening.
I understand.
And not want to do something about it.
Okay.
At least as much as I could do.
Rhonda?
Even if not.
Rhonda?
Yes.
Okay. So it's a two-way conversation, right? There are questions that I have to ask so that the listeners can be engaged in the conversation, right?
Okay.
So you're sharing a lot of information, but you're not taking any pauses so that I can ask a question. So we're going to have to listen and share this conversation, right? Because I understand where you're coming from in terms of, you know, there was a lot of things that you saw. But it's the nature of the country. There are the haves and the haves not. And you were one of the haves.
I was.
Right. You were one of the haves. Now, a lot of people would probably think, why is she complaining? What is she complaining about? What is the concern? This is the nature of the beast, right? It's probably been going on for centuries.
Yeah.
Right? This family
and,
had.
And it was.
Right.
It
this,
had.
This family
Absolutely.
Had a name that they had built over these years that afforded them the kind of lifestyle that they had and that you experienced, right?
Absolutely.
So tell us, when did this, and like tell us within, you know, when did this, you've written a book about your life, right?
I have.
Right. And
I wrote a book about the experience living abroad, yes.
Right. And apparently it's been picked up and is going to be turned into a movie.
Yes.
Right. So tell me, when did this, like if this were a movie, when did this turn on its head? When did the shit basically hit the fan and you said enough?
When my maid found a Bible under my mattress.
Oh.
Because I was reading the word. That's when.
So you had you had a Bible under, not the Quran, you had a Bible under your mattress.
I had a Bible under my mattress, yes.
Okay, so tell us what happened. So you'd converted to Islam, right?
I converted to Islam, but again, I saw so many things that I began to make me question whether I had made the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
All the while, I would, yeah.
But could you see that, like, these individuals could have been Christian and this stuff would have happened anyway?
No, because technically in Islam, a man can marry a woman and she does not have to be Muslim.
Okay.
A Muslim woman cannot marry outside of the religion, but a Muslim man can.
Mm-hmm.
And when my husband married me, that expectation of me becoming Muslim was not his expectation of me. That was not something he forced on me. I did that because I wanted the family to have to practice under the same belief.
Right, cohesiveness.
And I went in with my eyes wide open.
Right. So she found the Bible under your bed. What's the next step? Yeah. What happened?
The next step, she takes the Bible to my eldest sister-in-law.
Uh-huh.
My eldest sister-in-law gathers her sisters, because my ex-husband is from a very large family,
uh-huh.
Gathers her sisters and some cousins
uh-huh.
and some griots that follow the family.
Right,
which,
I know what a griot is. So explain to the people what a griot is, because a lot of people won't know what that is.
A griot is a clan. They're another caste of this system that through the generations
mm-hmm.
follows families,
mm-hmm.
families of certain lineage.
Mm-hmm.
And their job, you assume that they're friends of the families, which they are. They're close friends of the families generationally. But what they do is when you have big celebrations, funerals, births, any major celebration, they're
mm-hmm.
there. And what they do is they tell the story of that family lineage.
Right. They're like the human encyclopedia.
Which is unprecedented for any.
So they're like the human encyclopedia of the family.
That's exactly of that particular family.
Right.
Yes.
Because I remember
so
that.
So they were a part of this experience too.
Right.
Where so, I was forced in the room and they sat me in a chair and they asked me, my elder sister asked me if I believed Jesus Christ was the Son of God or if I believed he was a prophet as, you know, they believe in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pivotal point of my existence there. That was a pivotal point in my marriage.
So what happened?
And what happened after that? I told them that my foundation was as a woman, as a black woman, was that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and you can't get to God without going through Jesus Christ.
Okay. And so let me ask one question. So you started by saying that you didn't have to convert to Islam, right? So had you not had you not converted to Islam, would you have been able to keep the Bible under your bed?
Yes, absolutely.
So if
perhaps I can't answer that.
Right.
Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure. The family was very controlling. They were determined for the children to have their culture and their ways.
Right.
So I don't know. I can't answer that. There was would have been a time I could have said, yes, I would have, but I don't know if that would have been the case.
Right. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Okay.
Thank you.
Awesome.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and we are talking about entrepreneurial. Right now we have Rhonda Williams on the line, and she's talking about her experience as a woman in a foreign country trying to make a go of it for herself in a culture that is completely different from her own. Am I right?
Yeah.
Right. So let me ask you a question. So how did you get out of there? Because you kind of escaped Senegal, right?
I did. I escaped. Yeah. Again, as I said, I lived there for 5 years, and I traveled back and forth. I traveled home all the time. I was able to go as I wished. I could never travel with my sons. I did not have my children's passport, so they really...
How did you get out? How did you get out with your children and your passport? And how did you get back to America and have to reestablish yourself?
It's something. It's an interesting story that really goes beyond an hour or 15 minutes. But long story short, when my husband, the universe, as you spoke about earlier, just began creating experiences and opportunities that I could not explain. And in the sense where I was able to get my passports for my children after not having them for years, I could not travel. I could not leave at the from the airport because they had territory, land.
You know what? I think what there is, Rhonda,
Exodus, where it was a methodical plan. It was called Operation Get Out. There were a myriad of different people that worked on my behalf to create an escape route for me, and I had to literally. I was no longer able to take my children from school. I was really almost towards the end a prisoner in my own home.
Right.
I had to escape by way of people who were afraid for my life.
Right. Rhonda, you know what we're going to have to do? I'm going to have to invite you to come on the show to share your story, because we're really trying to rush through your story and like have a look at it in the realm of being an entrepreneur, because you've now written this book and, you know, you're selling your story and stuff like that, and just how you got to this point in your life. I think what would be much more beneficial for you and for the listeners would be for you to actually come into the studio and be thoroughly interviewed, you know, because you're sharing your story and I don't think it can really, it's doing you any benefit. Do you get what I'm saying?
It's not. But I will answer, I will surmise your question. You asked me how I got out. I got out by way of underground railroad, so to speak, of people who were methodically placed. I had to travel through the three continents, literally. We had to travel to the border of Senegal, which was about 6 to 8 hours away from Dakar, which is where we lived. From there, we crossed a border into another country called Mauritania, which is an Arab emirate. We hid out there. From there, we hid out for 2 days, detained countless times throughout the journey. But they could never hold us because of it. I had these American passports.
Right.
Nevertheless, we were still being held because the names on the passports. Every time they would try to call to get some type of substantiation as to why I was traveling with these three boys of this name, by myself without my husband and or a letter that I should have had to accompany with me from him. We were detained but could never be held for long periods.
Right.
We had a guardian, someone that was there.
Rhonda, you know you're a writer, right? You know you're a writer. You know you're a writer, right?
I am.
So you know that you cannot surmise or summarize anything in short because you are telling it like you've written it, and we don't have enough time for that.
And it's so unfortunate because it's a story that truly deserves to be heard.
Right, and it's going to get heard, but you need your own forum, right? So I'm going to invite you to come on the show. So we're going to end right now, and I'm going to literally set it up so that you can come on the show and share, because I know that people listening to this, they're going to want to know more, and I know you're trying to give me the short version, which is not possible. You're a writer. And also people are going to want to see what you look like. You know what I mean? Because it's something that they would romanticize and they would have you being Halle Berry or something like that, right? So I think that we should do that. And we'll talk. We should talk tomorrow. And all right.
You can set that in. Absolutely. So I look forward to sharing my story. It's time.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show, and I look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
I as well.
All right.
Have a great one.
Bye-bye. Bye. So thank you, my listeners, for indulging me in that conversation. Yeah, her life has been one of trials and tribulations, and ultimately we met 10 years ago, and she's come out on top, where she now has a book. And she has a deal for a story about her life, right? And, you know, like we all have stories. We're all, you know, entrepreneurs or grinders or whatever we call it today. But I tell you what, like life, it is no easy feat. I remember doing a triathlon many years ago. I was 40 years old at the time, and I did a triathlon. And the only part of the triathlon that I did was the swimming. I trained for the swimming. And I had to ride 26 miles, which I did one time on a bike around Central Park. And I had a brand new bike, which was fabulous. It is fabulous. And I had to run 13 miles. Now, so you cycled 26 miles, and then you ran 13 miles with legs that felt like jelly. On my run, there was a man who was 86 years old because we had our ages printed on our foot. And he said, give me that 40-year-old legs. And I'm looking, you got those 86-year-old legs and you're kicking ass, right? As an entrepreneur, there are many, many journeys and many, many trips that I have been taking. And on that, through that marathon, that triathlon that I did, I met people that were slower than me, that I ran with to sort of like, well, slow, right? That I ran with to sort of get my chops, right? To build up my energy, to build up my strength. And along the way, again, there were people that were faster than me. And I ran with them because I needed to like, you know, push out and like, you know, do this trip. But at the end of the trip, and then while I was on the trip on the bike, I saw somebody get smashed by a car. And I had my phone in my shorts. I was able to call the fire department. And, you know, so that was a detour, right? But ultimately, at the end of the race, I completed it. And I thought I was going to be smashed up, beat up, because I hadn't done a lot of training. I'd eaten avocados and Mars bars, right? That was my training, avocados and Mars bars, right? And I thought I was going to be completely wasted and smashed at the end of this trip. But I wasn't. I was energized and I felt really good about myself. And, you know, I had my boyfriend there and we went and did our own marathon, you know, and then went to the party later. So, you know, it likens me to life. I'm on a journey as this entrepreneurial thing, this business that I love so much. I'm on a journey and there will be lots of twists and turns and there might even be pileups, you know, like, so the pileup for me would be a pileup of the bills, right? But bills will always get paid. And like I say, I have not created a lifestyle for myself. And what there is I have to create a lifestyle of what I want. And what on this call tonight, I am forgiving myself for not creating a lifestyle or updating my lifestyle. And I'm going to forgive myself and I am going to go home. And for the rest of this week, I'm going to knuckle down and write and create and design a life that I want to live. And then I'm going to go forward and do it and take the actions because my clients are out there. My tribe is out there. I love what I do. People get results. I have an amazing program that I'm creating and I am just really, really, truly in love with my life and in love with what I do. Now, you know, this is what I've decided to do. I'm already a spoiled product. I'm like a spoiled avocado with all black spots. I can't, like me going and working for somebody, you know, on a 9-to-5, it's too late. It is way too late. I am spoiled. I am like a bad breed child. Right? So I can't, that's not for me, right? So as an entrepreneur, we'll have many experiences, many ups, many downs, you know, there'll be many, many successes, there'll be failures, but the failures will be to have me look and see where things are not working and put in the new actions. I'm really excited about it. You know, I'm excited about my work. I'm excited about my new clients and the new people I'm going to meet. And whether you're cooking, whether you're like Chef Life and you're cooking food, or whether you're like Ellen, who is an amazing marketer, and, you know, doesn't matter who you are or what you do, we bring value. Gotcha. We bring value. We are value and we're valuable. And there are people out there that are dying to use our services and be a part of our journey. So on that note, I'm so grateful for this breakthrough that I had today. This headache will be gone soon. Maggie, thank you for joining the call. Bridget, thank you. Joan, thank you. For all the people that joined the call tonight, whether you're an entrepreneur or not, we all have journeys that we're on. And just make it a good one, right? So this is Noreen Sumter signing off on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And I will talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.